It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, we got a lot to do today. But before we get into anything with the Kings, because we got some stuff to talk about. Again, not overreacting, but reacting appropriately.
Yes.
Before we do that, I need to complain about something just non-basketball related really quick.
Mm-hmm.
I stumbled across something on the internet that I needed to bring up here. Put your shopping carts away. That's all. That's it. That's the PSA. If you're going to use a shopping cart and you're going to roll your items out to your car, which makes sense.
Okay.
Put the shopping cart away. Take the 12 seconds it's going to take you to walk that to the nearest shopping cart disposal place and put it there.
Did somebody hit your car?
No.
Oh.
I just saw a thing today on the internet about how shopping carts, it's a whole theory about self-governance and how shopping carts show whether a person can live in a self-governed society.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's heavy.
It's a whole long thing. I don't need to dive into all that. It's just basic courtesy. I know you're in a hurry. I know you got places to be, but if you're going to use a shopping cart, understand that when you do that, there's a 12-second tax attached to walking that over to the area, a designated area for the shopping carts. You don't even have to put it in there nice. Like, you just roll it in there and make sure that it stays in there.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, so
put your shopping carts away.
As somebody who worked grocery,
yes,
when I was young,
yes,
like I one time in a torrential downpour, I went outside with a very, very elderly woman, and she had an umbrella. I did not. She couldn't find her car. I stood in the parking lot looking for her car with her in the rain while she was under an umbrella and I was not, for at least 15 minutes.
Okay.
I came inside with another 15 carts that I pulled back in, so wet that my socks were soaked through. Like, my underwear were soaked. I was
gross.
Like,
sounds horrible.
And I had to work like another 6 hours like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, have some courtesy for the courtesy clerks, which they don't even really do that. A lot of them don't do it anymore. So, yeah, I'm with you. Anyway.
Anyways. All right, we're back. We're good.
I forgot
to do the most important step of starting the show today. It's fine. We're back.
Oh,
good Lord, Kyle. Figure it out. Anyways.
Yeah, it happens, man.
Yeah. Anyways, it actually shouldn't. Like, what I did just now shouldn't happen, but whatever. Put your shopping carts away. It's all good. Welcome, everybody listening on ESPN 1320 AM, everybody on the Free Odyssey app, and everybody on YouTube.com/ESPN1320 and Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We do appreciate you very much. The PSA today, put your shopping carts away.
And grab
it's
an
just
extra
a good thing to do. It's just like, a nice thing to do.
It is. And when you're going inside, grab a shopping cart out of the rack as opposed to going inside and grabbing one. Then that way you already have your shopping cart and it saves a little bit of time for somebody else to have to go out and round up extra carts. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You get out of your car, you're walking to the grocery store, you see carts all around you.
Oh, yeah. Just grab one of those.
Just grab one of those, fellas. Bring it on in.
Yeah,
maybe
man.
Grab an extra.
Yeah.
You don't have to stack them up.
Yeah, no doubt. That's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah. Just
be a good person. That's such an easy way to be a good person. You don't have to be nice to anybody. You don't have to smile to anybody. You don't have to interact with anybody.
Nope.
You just take your cart to your car, unload the things into the car, and then you take that cart, close your car, obviously, and then you walk that cart over to where it goes, and boom, and then you go back to your car.
There it is.
And you've done a good deed for the day. It's so easy. It's so easy. Build a little karma today, folks. Anyways, the Sacramento Kings, they lost their fourth preseason game last night to the Jazz, 117-114. And, man, I'm stuck a little bit between preseason doesn't matter. I want to punt everything that happens in the preseason out of the picture and believe that it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if we're talking about the Kings as a 50-plus win playoff team and as this team that's going to have the best offense in the league and the best offense ever and all this other stuff, I need to see more. Like, I'm sorry, I don't buy... I was reading in the Kings Herald today about how, hey, this is just like last preseason, and look, they won 46 games. I don't want this team to win 46 games.
Yeah.
That's a problem. So that's where, again, it's not... I understand that there's that we could get to night one and the Kings could beat the Timberwolves by 30 and they could shoot 47% from three and it's going to be like, oh, hey, there they are. But at the same time, what we have right now is a small sample of preseason games and it just hasn't been great.
Yeah, Kyle, so when I'm watching a game, I'm looking for things like compete level. Like I was concerned on Sunday. I thought Sunday's game
was... That was weird.
It was a game where like... I don't want to hear Malik Monk show up at practice the next day and tell people that he thought they were tired. Like, come on, man. Like, you're a professional basketball player. Like, if there's... Maybe Malik Monk was tired because Malik Monk had some personal things going on.
Sure.
And not only that, but Malik Monk wasn't allowed to, you know, practice during the summer. So, like, building up to camp, maybe him as an isolated person is one thing to say, hey, look, and Mike Brown... wanted none of that. He's like, these are elite athletes. What do you mean they're tired?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's not something that he would want to hear at all.
Yeah.
Like if you're tired, then we need to run more. How about that? Ooh. That, you know, that's what my football coach would do. I'm like, oh, you're tired. Okay. Well, we're going to run more. So I think when I'm watching a game, what I'm looking for is improvement.
Sure.
And you know, if we go back to the last couple of games before this one, the Kings had like 30 plus points in transition two games in a row, right? And it's like, okay, their transition game is great.
Super fast.
The problem is that they weren't scoring any other way.
Yeah.
So their offense was horrific. And the offensive numbers were, they weren't good as it was, but they were being buoyed by a whole bunch of really weird fast break transition buckets.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're saying, oh, well, they had 24 assists, it's like, okay, but 24 assists, I guarantee you 16 of those came on the break. Like, that's not good.
Yeah.
So you look at last night's game, transition buckets are down, but assist numbers go up to 32. So that means that they're starting to get into the flow of their offense. They're starting to do things that actually will matter when we transition to the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a bunch of get out and run. What we talked about it the other day, they were like 15 of 18 or 15 of 19 from in transition, and then like 20 of 65 or 65 on regular everyday shots. Like that's not sustainable. You're going to lose every game.
Yeah.
So we're starting to see them like look more like a unit. We're starting to see things like Domantas Sabonis take over or Keegan Murray, you know, like get hot from the corner, whatever it is. We're starting to see some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we aren't seeing it all together blended in one game where it looks perfect and they win.
I want to get to the shooting stuff here in a second. That's been the big topic of conversation over the last 12 or so hours. But the thing that jumped out to me, just to piggyback off what you were saying, is make or miss league, right? That's the what everybody says about the NBA. The Kings got up 34 more shots than the Jazz last night.
Yeah.
First of all, look this up. A team hasn't lost a game where they had 34 more shots than their opponent since 2007.
Okay.
At least in the regular season. I don't know about preseason. I can't look those stats up. But that's one of the things that if you want to say, hey, this is just preseason, I'm not going to panic, I'm looking for the things they're improving on, if you're getting up 34 more shots than your opponent,
mm-hmm.
you're going to win more games than you lose.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which is why, you know, you look at last night, and we'll talk about the shooting for sure, but that's one of the things that I was encouraged by last night is it wasn't, like, against Portland, right? It was a what the hell is this game. It was a, this is not a competitive basketball team. What are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
Versus last night, it was, okay, they just didn't have some shots go in. And that's going to happen sometimes. The fact that they had 34 more shots than the Jazz is a plus to me, even if a bunch of the shots didn't go in.
No, I'm with you. Because, look, the way that you get extra possessions, there's two basic ways to get extra possessions. Number one, you force turnovers. And the Jazz turned the ball over 24 times last night. And of those 24 turnovers, 16 steals for the Sacramento Kings. You had 5 steals for DeMar DeRozan. You had 4 steals for Jordan McLaughlin off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every starter had a steal. Almost every starter had 2 steals. So that's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you're looking for in order to get more possessions is exactly what Mike Brown has been talking about. They want 3 extra possessions a game just on offensive rebounds. They had 20 offensive rebounds last night. And that's crazy. And I know Sabonis had 11 of those. I mean, 11. He had 7.
He had like 6 of them on one possession trying to put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't 6, but he had quite a few.
Right.
He had 2 or 3 possessions where maybe he had 3 shots. But you're looking at like almost every single player who stepped on the floor had an offensive rebound. And that's what we're talking about with the crash zone and what they're looking for. So, look, some of the basic ideas that they're instituting during camp, mm-hmm. it's happening.
Yeah,
it's just slower than you would like.
Yeah.
And if you're going to play your starters 35, 37 minutes, they should win that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
The shooting specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Mentioned they got 105 shots up last night.
I don't even know what the pace is going to say about that.
That's outrageous. That's such a ridiculous number.
That's 40, wild.
45 of 105 from the field. 10 of 38 from 3. The Kings starters plus Malik Monk in the preseason are 21 of 84 from 3. That is 25%.
It's not good.
That's not going to get it done.
No.
So I have two questions about this, because I don't think that group is going to shoot 25% in the regular season. But there are two things that jump out to me from this. One, De'Aaron Fox is 7 of 22, just 31.8. Going into last year, he was 32.1% from his career, or from 3 in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, he went 36.9%. So he was 4.8% above his career average. There's definitely a part of me when you're projecting this out to the regular season, there's definitely a part of me that wonders if there's a regression coming there for Fox, where if last season we're going to look at in 3 or 4 years is the outlier season where he shot 37% from 3 and now it comes back down to 32-33%.
I'll tell you why that's a scary thing. And really there's a very specific reason. It's one thing when you shoot in the 22-23 season, when you shoot 32.4% from 3.
Mm-hmm.
On 5 attempts per game.
Sure.
When you shoot 36.9%, but you also bumped your 3-point attempts from 5 to 7.8,
mm-hmm.
there's potential for disaster there.
Mm-hmm.
So if he drops back to 32%, but he's still shooting 7.8 attempts per mm-hmm. game, he now becomes one of the most inefficient players in the game.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. So you're Definitely. Hoping that isn't, that we're just seeing like rust during the preseason. And like, I got to be honest, like, they're the flow, right? We keep hearing the flow offense, they're not running mm-hmm. sets. You can see that they're not running sets now, and you can see that teams are adjusting to the flow, and they're like, okay, when are you guys going to run sets? And the more sets you run, the more open looks that Fox is going to get as an off-ball
sure.
shooter,
mm-hmm.
right? So he's going to catch and shoot as opposed to create off the dribble. Right now, I don't know what the splits are. I'm sure Will Z's out there somewhere that can tell us what the splits are on his catch and shoot numbers versus his off the dribble numbers in preseason. But I'm going to guarantee that he's shooting more off the dribble shots right now.
I would assume so.
Than he would normally.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem. They're still trying to learn each other. Like, it is clunky for sure. Mm-hmm. And you're waiting for all these like little two-man games to start keying together.
So that's kind of the other thing.
Yeah.
As I've been saying, this is why just reeling this in a little bit outside of the, you know, oh, let's react. That's the other part of this is I've been saying this since DeMar DeRozan was acquired.
Mm-hmm.
This might be a little bit of a slow start. Out the gate, there might be, clunky is a perfect word for it. There might be some clunkiness out of the gate. There might be some games that, hey, man, they lost that one in the first week and they probably had no business losing it. Or a better offensive execution down the stretch, they probably win that game. Mm-hmm. That might happen a couple times in the first couple weeks because of what you just said. They're still trying to figure this out together. And when you, this isn't inserting a Trey Lyles into the rotation where that's a player who has a very specific defined role. This is adding DeMar DeRozan, who's going to take a bunch of shots and he's going to have the ball in his hands and going to put the ball on the floor. This is adding him to your offense. It's going to take a minute.
No,
and
totally.
That's part of the reason, you know, we can talk about the 3-point shooting and, oh man, is De'Aaron Fox going to regress a little bit? How does Malik Monk fit into all this? Like, we'll talk about that. But at the same time, it's a big part of the reason, outside of the fact that it's preseason, doesn't matter. And I shouldn't say it doesn't matter. It doesn't count.
Yeah.
I also think that this might just kind of be what we're in for the first couple of weeks while they figure this out and iron out the wrinkles.
Yeah, I mean, the key is that they have to figure it out quickly. And we talked about what happened 2 years ago when you added all of these pieces and then you threw them out there on the court together and somehow they found like this incredible chemistry right off the bat, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one expected that. And it wasn't just because, you know, oh, well, they're the Kings and we don't think they're going to be that good offensively. It's that most of these players had not played together before.
Right.
I think there is a problem here with the fact that, you know, a guy like Jordan McLaughlin is now being integrated into the system later this week. Kevin Huerter is going to be integrated into the system. He probably won't play on Thursday, but, you know, there's a chance that he's going to be on the court on week one,
mm-hmm.
and you need him integrated into the system. The same thing goes with Trey Lyles. Like, they have made structural changes to their offense and defense during the offseason,
mm-hmm.
but on top of that, like, the key piece that you added is DeMar DeRozan. He's not getting an opportunity to play with two guys and three guys you throw McLaughlin in there that all the other guys have.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have this moment where he doesn't know those guys. He doesn't know where they like to be. He doesn't know how to help Kevin Huerter get open off a screen or where Trey Lyles likes to go. Or the fact that Trey Lyles pump fakes almost every time someone runs at him on a three. and as a player, you need to know, like, oh, Trey Lyles is going to pump fake, which means I need to get out of the key so I don't get stuck with a three in the key.
Sure.
You know, if I'm going in for a rebound. So there's all of these little nuances to the game that they're going to have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it looks sloppy, and that's okay. They still have like 8 days and 9 days, whatever it is. And in basketball time, that is an eternity.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
You get a lot done in a week.
Yeah.
I do wonder if the shooting woes continue, if we do see some regression from Fox, and if Keon Ellis is not hitting threes the way he did last season, if we see the adjustment be Kevin Huerter back in the starting lineup. Where they just need some kind of shooting and spacing with that group. Because that was the whole thing last year is De'Aaron Fox is, hey, there's your spacing now. And De'Aaron Fox, as fast as he is, you can't recklessly close out on him because that's an easy blow by and it's going to be an easy bucket either in the mid-range or at the rim. So that's one of the, I don't know, silver linings, but like things you can fall back on here
mm-hmm.
is there is a very, very good shooter kind of waiting in the wings here where if they do need to make an adjustment, there's a pretty easy adjustment they can make that might be able to just fix everything that is wrong. Again, if they're still not shooting it great.
No, I'm with you. Keon Ellis hasn't shot the ball particularly well from three, but my bigger concern is that like you can't have games where he's shooting two times and games where he's shooting three times.
Exactly.
It's kind of like we talk about this all the time. It's one thing to have a great defender who's sitting on the bench because he's not good enough to get on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that guy doesn't help you. It's another thing that, like, if you're a really good shooter, but you never shoot, that's not okay. That's not what the offense is asking you to do.
Yeah.
And I'll say this too, like, Keon Ellis made some changes to his shot. He's jumping more towards the basket. He's doing something different that I was like, huh. I wonder why you changed things, which I didn't think he should have.
Yeah, he was good from three last year.
Yeah, and so I'm hoping that that isn't an issue and that it doesn't carry over. But, like, look, he is a very, very good shooter, and he needs to shoot. Like, the Kings need him to shoot four or five threes a game, like, at a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And he can do that. He just needs to make sure that he's moving to spots and that his teammates are looking for him.
Yeah.
You know, I watched last night. There were at least three or four, like, possessions where Keegan Murray was wide open on the the right corner, and they didn't kick it to him. And it was, they were in transition. He did his job to run down, and they're not seeing the court the right way right now, which tells you that they're thinking too much. Like, on the court, you can see the wheels turning a lot of the time, and it's part of, you know, growing together as a group, but it's also part of it being preseason and these guys, you know, working in the gym all summer long,
mm-hmm.
but not doing so much a lot of five-on-five work, you know, doing a lot of individual training and stuff, but not doing, you know, big pickup games.
I think all of this, because there were good things to take away from last night, and we'll get to those too. I think the important thing with all of this, as far as preseason goes, is this is not projecting out to what this year is going to be. This is not, oh, the Kings can't shoot. Like, maybe that'll be the case, but this is just something, that's something I'm filing away for the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a thing I need to see change once the regular season starts. And if it does, then great. But at the same time, if they come out in the first 2 months, they're shooting as a team 32% from three or something ridiculous, then we're going to go back to the preseason. We're going to go, hey, this has been a problem.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where I want to make sure this is landing, is not, oh my God, the Kings can't shoot, but it's not nothing, but I'm also not sure how big of a something it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the sky is not falling. Like,
no, not at all.
But it is raining. So you need to figure out what the problem is.
It's maybe a mist, maybe a light mist.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you wore the jacket today, so.
I did. Yeah. I did.
They did have some good stuff, man. They did have some good stuff from this game, so.
Yeah, we can get to that for sure. He's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen, and we're the Insiders. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader, until noon. We can kind of mix and match. I want to get to Domantas Sabonis for sure, but since you mentioned Jordan McLaughlin, let's just start there.
Oh, yeah.
He can play, man. Just an effective player. I don't know. Here's my question for you. Is he going to have a regular rotation spot? Because I did not realize how, like, really undersized he is.
Yeah, when he talked about being 5'11".
Yeah, he's not.
Oh, no, he's very undersized.
He is definitely undersized, which makes me wonder how much of a, is he going to have a regular rotation spot? Because, like, can you play him next to Malik Monk? Can you play him in a three-guard lineup and feel really good about it? Like, I genuinely have no idea, and that's where my question is. He can very obviously play, and I think he can very obviously have an impact for Sacramento, but I also am not sure if it's going to be a matchup-based thing where, hey, Kings need a defensive spark, get him in there. Or somebody's in foul trouble, here, let's lean on Jordan McLaughlin. Or do you think he's going to be, every night, he's going to get 13 minutes?
I think it's going to be more like what you just said.
And I said two things.
Yeah, I think the second one, I do think he's going to have a regular rotational spot. Like, when I'm watching him play, I'm just, like, so impressed. He's just, you know what he is? He's a professional hooper.
Yeah, dude, he just knows what to, I said, don't say the name that you said when we were talking about who he reminds you of last night.
Yeah.
Like, for sure, don't do that. No, you can't. I'm joking. But I said, it's like miniature Derek White.
Okay.
Like, that's how, like, when I watch Derek White, and again, it's not, it's like miniature off-brand Derek White.
Mm-hmm.
Because Derek White is the kind of guy that you kind of watch him just move on the court, and it's like nothing like crazy special, but he's always in the right spot. He always makes the right play.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets the ball, when he catches and shoots, you feel really good that it's going to go in. And I know, I think McLaughlin went 0 for 4 from 3 last night, but
he went 4 for 9 overall.
Yeah, you just feel good when he has it. It's just, hey, I know that guy's going to do the right thing on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, so when you're watching a guy and he goes in just for a layup and you're like, okay, that just looked like a professional play. And then you see him pull up from, like, he missed a, I think, a baseline three. Well, he missed a baseline three. And then the ball, the Kings got the offensive rebound. It got kicked right out to him. And he's like 15 feet away and just drills the baseline jumper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, there are so many plays that I watched in that game, just on the offensive end, where he's just smooth and he knows what he's doing. And on the defensive end, he was one of the, like, the league leaders in deflections.
Four steals last night.
Like, he's all over the place. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but for, I think people underestimate him because of his size. And he gets to, like, a whole lot more, like, you know, he tips the ball out or deflects way more than mm-hmm. you expect. I think that there's going to be a moment where you're gauging, okay, like, how good is he versus, you know, how often do we get beat defensively because of it?
Right, like, there's like a diminishing returns.
Yeah, there's like a perfect balance point between mm-hmm. playing him enough and not playing him too much.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're sitting there, okay, like, look, how do we find that? And to me, he's almost like, I think you can use him as the way that that the Pelicans use Alvarado. But he's like almost the complete opposite of Alvarado, except for the fact that they both get a bunch of steals. But the way he gets steals versus the way Alvarado gets steals, like everything Alvarado does is like hairs on fire. Mm-hmm. Everything Jordan McLaughlin does is so polished and like professional.
Yeah.
And so I dig it. Like right away, you're like, oh, this is a really, really high level player.
Yeah.
That, you know, maybe didn't get enough opportunity or maybe. Again, there is this balancing point where you can't keep going to the well on him. And so, you know, we talked about Tyus Jones and like how the Kings may have been able to upgrade the position. I think they may have got like a really good, perfect fit for their team
mm-hmm.
where it's not a guy that you want to have step in and play 35 minutes a night in a pinch or start. But for your team, when you have a you know, a all-NBA point guard that's averaging 35 minutes a game, you don't need somebody who's playing that much.
Yeah, over the last 3 years, he played 161 games for Minnesota and played about 14 minutes a night, a little less than 14 minutes a night.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you can get that out of him, and he just continues to do what he did last night, where he's creating extra possession with steals, and he's knocking down a couple of threes, and making the right pass, just continues making the correct plays, mm-hmm. I think that could be really valuable. And maybe he's not an every night player, but I think when he is on the court, I think he might quickly become a fan favorite.
No, I think so too. And then one last thing on him. Yep. When we saw his numbers last season and he shot 47.2% from three,
mm-hmm.
it's like, what in the world? Like, okay, first of all, why isn't he playing more? And secondly, how do you go from being like, he's shooting 30.8%, 31.8% the year before that, to 47.2, and you look at him play and you're like, okay, I get it, because you worked really hard on that because you knew that that's what's going to get you on the court and you're a professional.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it with Jordan McLaughlin. Like, very quickly, some players you understand how they're in the league, and others mm-hmm. you're still wondering, like 5 years in, how mm-hmm. they keep getting contracts. You don't wonder why he keeps getting contracts.
Yeah, 38.2% from three in year one, 35.9, and then the 2 years you said 31.8 and 30.8. But then up to 47.2 last year.
Yeah.
Crazy. Jordan McLaughlin, fun player. Want to remind everybody, Socktober is here and people need socks. Bring your unwrapped, in the package, new socks to our studios here at 3010 Lava Ridge Court, Suite 220 in Roseville. You walk in the building, you go up the stairs, and ring the little doorbell right there. We have a big bucket that you can drop those socks in. We work with the Gathering Inn, who distributes those to the unhoused in time for the inclement weather. Your donations would be tremendously appreciated. And if you stick around, if we have time, we'll pop out and say what's up.
That's right.
As well. So bring your socks here for Socktober at 3010 Lava Ridge Court, Suite 220 in Roseville. All right, we got Golden Sky Beer and Country Music Festival tickets to give away. We got more Kings to dive into. We'll do some NFL stuff that we didn't get to yesterday. Plenty to dive into here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I had to see if my buttons work today. Nope. My second hotkey is still not working. That's okay. We'll figure that out. I'll hit engineering and they'll fix it for me. That's what I always do. Hopefully this time they don't hit me with it. You could just Google it.
Did you read the fact sheet?
Yeah, like literally we have the last time I needed to fix something, I hit our engineer and I go, hey, can you help me with this? And he's like, this is on our internal document. Read this.
Oh.
You bet. My bad, dog. We'll be giving away Golden Sky beer and country music festival tickets here in a bit. Actually, we'll be telling you how to win those tickets. We're not actually going to give them to you. I'd also want to remind everybody tonight, Game 3 of the National League Championship Series between the Los Angeles Dodgers and New York Mets is tonight, and coverage begins right here on ESPN 1320 at 4:30 p.m. I think it's a 5:08 p.m.
It is
Pacific first pitch.
Yeah.
So it's an 8:08 p.m. Eastern time first pitch.
That's wild.
Yuck, dude.
On a Wednesday?
On a Wednesday.
People's got to work.
We got job. Like, I have no idea. I have no doubt the Mets fans are gonna be nuts and Citi Field's gonna be crazy tonight. But what I don't understand Major League Baseball scheduling. I don't understand it one bit. Why is that not a 4:08 Pacific time start? 7:08 Eastern.
Mm.
Is it to accommodate the Dodger fan?
It must be.
But hosing Mets fan?
Of course.
I don't know. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It's very odd because we're so used to the bias going the other way.
Yeah, I'm sure there's reasons for it, and the people who make those decisions are experienced and paid to make those decisions.
Okay.
But I would love to know the thought process.
Yeah.
I would love to sit down and chat with a TV exec who sets those start times.
I think they have to be pretty frustrated if there's a bunch of 7:05 Dodger starts that's at 10 o'clock. But that's
the thing is Dodger games have been starting at in the afternoon.
Mm.
They've been like 1:08. Just 4:08 over there.
Yeah, that's...
And then you got the Yankee game in primetime. Like, I get why they want the Yankees in primetime, but I don't know.
Just seems like they should be able to stagger the games by like an hour and a half and have them going on partially at the same time on two different channels. I mean, am I wrong? It seems like we have the technology where you
But by the time the championship series is started, you probably don't want to be doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, like can you imagine if the NBA conference finals just staggered the games?
Yeah.
That would be insane.
No, but the NBA, what they do is they play every other day. That's not what, so you
yeah,
can
they
have,
are.
You can have, well, in the NBA, they'll play on a, like the Celtics would play on a Monday, Wednesday, and a Friday, and then the other game is on the Tuesday, the Thursday, the Saturday.
Yeah.
So then that way you have the games on different days. Well, in baseball, they're playing every day.
Right.
Except for travel days. So when you have both teams playing on the same, all four teams playing on the same day, then you have a problem. You know, that's what they don't have that problem in the NBA because they're not playing on the same day.
Right, but that, but if they, but that's what I'm saying is if the NBA did that where the two teams, the two conference finals took place on the same day,
mm-hmm.
and they staggered them, we would be like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You want all eyes on every single one, every single minute of the first game, and then all eyes on every single minute of the second game.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, but you have to remember the length of game is different in baseball and basketball. I don't know. I don't know, Kyle. I don't know what the answer is.
I just know that
poor people in New York have to have a game start at 8:08.
I think they're gonna show out. 4:30 p.m. coverage begins game 3 of Dodgers Mets right here on ESPN 1320. Let's get to some good stuff from the Kings game last night. We can push the NFL stuff. We also have the ESPN NBA rank, the top 100 players from this season. That list has started trickling out. I think we have the numbers 100 through 11. So we'll dig into that as well. But man, I'll tell you what. Whatever version of Domantas Sabonis showed up last night, I'm not asking for that every game because I think that's probably unrealistic. But that Domantas Sabonis we saw last night, and frankly that we've kind of seen throughout this preseason, a little more aggressive getting to the basket, definitely looking for his shot more often, especially on the perimeter. That's it. Like that's when I get on the radio and go, I would love a little bit more from Domas. It's not a couple more assists or a couple more rebounds or a little more effort. That's never the issue. It's just like, dog, go get your own shot sometimes.
Yeah.
And man, there were he made a three last night, bounced it home with the good shooter's touch. And what he's been doing more often in this preseason, I would love to see it continue in the regular season, is when he starts to roll down the lane and the ball gets to him, he's just putting the ball on the deck and going up with it.
Yeah.
It's not like catch and stop and like, okay, where am I going to go with it? Okay, well, now I'm going to try and go up. And meanwhile, the defense has collapsed. The decision-making on, hey, I'm just getting this and going to the rack has been so much quicker. And there's been the play that you pointed out from, was it their preseason opener where they ran the two rub screens and he just dribbled just around it and hammered one down?
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff like that's – If that continues into the regular season, now I think you see Domas take this leap into the stratosphere that he should probably already be. Where, hey, now he's averaging 22, 14, and 9.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds ridiculous. I know, this is not me. This is just how this stuff is viewed nationally.
Yeah.
22, 14, and 9 versus 19, 14, and 9. The difference between 19 and 22 might as well be the difference between 22 and 50.
Yeah.
And I really, if he continues doing what he's done in this preseason, I think he gets there. He's been really, really good.
What I like that I've seen from him so far is what you're talking about, like in his post move, there's no hesitation. Yes. When he's getting the ball, there's no hesitation. When he's getting the three ball, there's no hesitation. When he's pulling up for a mid-range jumper, there's no hesitation. So I'm going to like really, the work that Doug Christie, Leandro Barbosa have done with him, it's clear that's one of the things that they focused on with him. It's like, hey, man, we need you to stop like waiting around. We need you to stop having these like moments of indecision, and we need you to go. So they're clearly working on this with him because everything seems automatic and it's sped up, but in a good way, not in a bad way. And Walker Kessler is an incredible shot blocker.
Good defender.
He just tooled that guy.
Yep.
It's just like, hey, man, you're not even here.
Yep.
And like for him to like embarrass a big shot blocker like that was crazy. Now, like, look, he wasn't perfect. The John Collins, his defense on John Collins was not good. And John Collins, like, strangely looked like he got way heavy, but was way more explosive than he has been the last couple of years. John Collins looked phenomenal. But at the same time, like, he's got his own problems. I thought Sabonis' defense on him was not great, and he kind of struggled with dealing with a smaller player, which is why they tried the Alex Len thing. They put Alex Len in with him for at least a couple of minutes to see how it went. And that was also at a point where Sabonis, I think, had four fouls. So we all thought Sabonis was coming out of the game, and they didn't do that. They put Alex Len in for DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
And they went big.
Give it a whirl.
Yeah.
See how it goes.
Intriguing.
Yeah, if Domas is going to shoot threes a little more regularly, I think he can try that more often.
Mm-hmm.
But offensively, man, it wouldn't shock me. This is his age 28 season. If something just kind of clicked for him this offseason, that wouldn't be that crazy. And again, this is not asking him to be, what did he go at? 13 field goals a game last year?
Yep.
13, exactly 13, up from 12 the year before. Can he get that to 15? Can I get two more shots a game?
Well, I think if you get all those offensive rebounds.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, and that's part of the, I think he had 21 field goal attempts last night.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably closer to like 17.
Yeah, he went full Moses Malone.
Actual field goal attempts. But yeah, man, I've loved the aggressiveness. I've really enjoyed it. He's the offensive hub, right? But that's when you're standing at the top of the key.
Mm-hmm.
And the play is happening around you. It's like, man, when you start rolling and you're getting to the basket, and you, if it's Joel Embiid or Jokic and dropping your shoulder into him doesn't create the space you need it to, okay, that's one thing. But man, if Walker Kessler is just going to go 6 feet backwards every time you drop your shoulder into his chest, just do that.
Yep.
Every time. I really, really enjoyed watching Domas play last night. That was what I would like to see on a little bit more regular basis.
No, sure. I agree, and it doesn't have to be 29 a game.
Nope.
But man, that guy is a walking bucket. If he wants it, you know, it's just.
I also saw a little crossover, a little shimmy shake last night. I was like, okay, get his bag.
It's just he's confident. That's what he is.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. Just kind of picking through the Kings lineup here. You make anything of Malik Monk going 2-12 and 1-7 from three, and not really looking like himself?
Look, something's going on off the court. I talked to him the other day in the locker room, and like I, not everybody feels this way. Like some people, like, hey, what's going on with Malik? I just said, hey, I'm not going to ask you what's going on, but I hope everything's good. He's like, thanks, man. He's like, yeah, I appreciate it, and yeah, you know. So we didn't get into it, but that's always been my policy. If a player wants to say, hey, this is what's going on, or if the team wants to say, hey. We need you to have somebody's back here. They've got something going on. We don't want to make it public, but here's what's happening. And can you at least, if people are asking why isn't he here or something like that, you can at least say, hey, it's good reason.
Sure.
That's always been something that I appreciate and I think the players appreciate. But at this point, like you can clearly tell he's just not 100% who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he's a vibes guy.
Yeah.
And when his vibes aren't high, number one, the Kings struggle, but number two, I think he struggles a little bit when he can't rely on his vibes, and so that's part of what I think we're seeing right now.
Do you think it's all that?
I mean, it can be it's a mixture of that and the fact that he didn't get to play all summer, and all of a sudden he's going to have like ebbs and flows of the body, you know, like feeling great one day and then not feeling great another.
And that's just kind of what we've seen over the last couple of years too.
Oh,
like he's going to go through a stretch where, hey, he doesn't hit a ton of shots, and then he's going to go through a stretch where he averages 22 a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that might just be it. But I also think that there's definitely, it feels like there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment for him when he's on the floor with DeMar DeRozan. Like he might have the biggest adjustment.
It's possible, but I just keep pointing this out, Kyle. The one player that they did not help out this offseason is Malik. Malik needs a lob threat with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it's one thing for him to be able to hit Alex Len, and you know, Alex does the best he can to like maneuver around by the basket, or Domas, you know, him in the two man game with Domas, but not having a JaVale McGee or a Rashawn Holmes, or like just like there are players that the Kings have had that work perfectly with him, and not having that guy is tough. And I think that's why it's possible the Kings are really hoping that Isaac Jones becomes something.
Yeah.
That he can hit his corner threes and he can do the whole, you know, offensive rebound thing and make a difference defensively, but also that he eventually develops into like a lob threat for Malik. I don't know that I buy it, because every time I watch him go in and do his crafty, like back to the basket stuff, Isaac Jones, I think he's very skilled, but it's not above the rim.
Right.
And so it doesn't matter how tall and how long his arms are. If he's not an above the rim player, you know, I always like relay this. everyone's who's played basketball, you can go out on a court and play basketball against somebody who just blocks way more shots than you ever think that he should or could. And he's not a big guy. He just has timing and just has like something about what he does. It allows him to block shots. Mm-hmm. And you, either you're a shot blocker or you're not. Either you're a dunker, an above the rim dunker, or you're not. And you can progress somebody to make them better and more aggressive going to the basket, which is what we've seen with Keegan Murray a little bit.
Yeah.
But Isaac Jones isn't there yet. He's, you know, day one of what could be a you know, 10-year journey.
He and Mason Jones played 3 minutes last night.
Yeah.
And that was it as far as the bench guys go. Was that a signal that was that extended minutes because we're trying to get starters their wind and we're working on stuff, so just the other guys aren't going to play? Or was that a signal that what we thought where, yeah, a couple of young guys are going to be in the rotation, maybe aren't going to be in the rotation once Kevin Herter and Trey Lyles are back?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that that's
how it seems to me.
That's pretty for sure, yeah. Right? Once Kevin, there's just only so many minutes that you have, right? Right. And I think for Mike, he's got to get his team ready and going full speed and playing 35, 38 minutes a game to get them working together and try to break through the ceiling that they've hit.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, you need Jordan McLaughlin to play a whole bunch of minutes and make sure he's ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him to get, what, almost 21 minutes, that's because they're trying to ramp him up. He missed a bunch of time with an ankle injury, and you're hoping that he gets like more acclimated to the system. And, you know, two games in, you're like, okay, we know what we have.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one good thing. You can kind of check some of these things off the list. I think, like, again, the Kevin Herter thing, Kevin Herter's going to take a while to feel comfortable again.
Sure.
That's what it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if guy just had, like, got hit for the first time, like, on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And
like, took contact.
Yeah. I mean, that means he could take a while, or he could just go, hey, I'm back. I'm Kevin.
Yep.
This is who I am. I feel comfortable. But there's also a possibility that it's going to take a little while for him to get used to what all of this means for him now with his shoulder issue.
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me at all. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program. We are the Insiders. We're hanging out with you until noon here on ESPN 1320 and Sacramento's sports leader. Thanks, everybody, listening on ESPN 1320 AM. We appreciate you, everybody in the chatty house and watching on YouTube.com/ESPN1320 and Twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We appreciate you all immensely. If you want to join the program, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. That's the Elk Grove Kia talk line. How are you feeling about the Kings through four preseason games? Are you underreacting, overreacting? Just regular reacting?
Regular reacting.
Just normal
reacting. That's where I'm at.
We're just reacting. Hey, real quick. I went back and rewatched a little of the Lakers-Warriors game last night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out on the Lakers. No, so I know that I saw this video on ESPN that was Stephen A. Smith and Shannon Sharp debating whether the Knicks or Lakers would have a better season, which feels wild to me. But again, we know kind of how that goes.
They're one team is a top three team in the East. The other one is a bottom
the other
five team
like
in the West,
fighting for a play-in spot. Yeah, and dude, I get okay. LeBron James is incredible, like no doubt. All-timer GOAT, if you want to call him that.
Yep.
That's fine. Anthony Davis, really, really effective player.
Hall of Famer.
One of the three or four best defenders in the sport, no doubt. But, dude, the amount of open looks the Warriors were getting last night, Steph went 3 of 11 from 3. It could have been 8 for 11 with some of the open shots he missed. And of all the guys like you, that are able to just get open and get free against your defense, it's him. They just never. I can't determine whether the prognostication about the Lakers is just based on I don't want to say media bias, but just the desire for clicks and engagement, or if it's genuine belief that whatever the hell this team is going to be this awesome top six seed and championship contender. I not overreacting to preseason, but based on what we saw last night, and what we saw last night is probably going to be a pretty close facsimile to what we saw in the last regular season because they didn't do a lot to change what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't do a ton to their roster. I know they got a new coach in there, and maybe J.J. Redick's the best coach in the league and all that, but man, I'm not caveating. Well, if they get 76 games out of Anthony Davis again, and if LeBron, you know, is it, like LeBron, I don't think he's going to age. I'd pencil him in for 24-7-7 or whatever, but I don't buy it anymore, man.
No, I'm with you 100%. Like, they didn't change the roster at all. And if anything, they lost players. They lost Torian Prince. You know, they lost a couple of players who seemed valuable. And during preseason, everyone, oh, the talk is Jackson Hayes. It's like, man, if Jackson Hayes is the talk of your camp, you've got a problem?
Yeah, it may, dude, if Jackson Hayes figures it out this year, salute. I will be the first one to tell you I was wrong.
Hey, and I will say this, if Malik Monk had Jackson Hayes, I'd be a lot more excited about Malik Monk. I mean, that dude can flat out dunk on the alley-oop. That's the type of guy that I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
But, like, let's be real here. Like, that team did not, you're banking on massive improvement from Rui Hachimura or Austin Reeves or
Max Christie,
who they gave $8 million a year for some reason. Like, everyone in the league, like, okay, what just happened? They went full Talen Horton Tucker.
That's him.
Yeah, THT.
Yep.
They went full, like, all in
for Anthony Davis
on a contract that you're like, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
so, like, really, really weird to have them be, like, still mentioned as one of the potential teams in the Western Conference. Like, look, they'll compete for a playoff spot, mm-hmm. but that's not a championship caliber roster at all.
Yeah, and that's just it. Securing Bagley said they won more games than Kings last year. Yeah, no doubt. And Gabe Vincent is back and Jared Vanderbilt for a full year. Okay.
They're waiting for Christian Wood to come back so they actually have a starting center.
Yeah, man. Could they be a play-in team? Like, yeah, for, like, no doubt.
Yeah.
But I didn't see anything last night that, and again, preseason, so maybe they turn on a switch in the regular season, everything's different, and I'll stand here in January and go, wow, super wrong about the Lakers, salute. But for now,
it's very difficult.
I tend to defer to people smarter than me on this stuff, but I'm not following people on the Lakers. I'm not.
Yeah, and also, I want to pull this from the chat. Kenneth Kelly, have you guys seen Asian Magic Johnson, who plays for Memphis?
Buddy,
we have seen
Kamimura.
This is our guy, please. Kenneth.
Please. Yeah, if you missed it, Kenneth, shout out to you for noticing our guy, Yuki. When Japan played, was it France in the Olympics and almost beat them? Was it France or Germany?
I think it was France. I'm pretty sure it was.
Oh, it was, yeah.
Yeah, because it was like a team that you had.
Yeah,
because
he got guarded by Gobert, and it looked really funny.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had 7'1" Gobert on.
I think he got guarded by
Yuki.
Wimby at one point.
Yeah, and Yuki was just cash, dude. He was incredible.
He is awesome.
He's so much fun to watch. He's breaking down defenders, getting in the lane, no-look passes.
Oh, yeah.
No, the no-look to Zach Edey. It was amazing.
Yeah.
He's so much fun. I hope he sticks around. I really hope Yuki sticks around.
Yeah, we're here for it.
Yeah, we love our guy Yuki very much. Okay, we'll get to some NFL stuff next. There's some additional Kings things I want to get into as well. I started watching Starting Five last night.
Mm.
I got most of the way through the first episode. I have some takeaways, and we have our Golden Sky Beer and Country Music Festival tickets to give away next segment as well. Socktober is here, everybody. People need socks. Bring them to 3010 Lava Ridge Court Suite 220 in Roseville. Please make sure they are new in the package socks. We don't want your used, dirty, smelly socks. You can just throw those away. Or I don't know if those go in the recycle. I don't know exactly where to, maybe compost. I don't know. Whatever you do with old socks, you can do that. New in the package socks. Gathering In will be distributing those to the unhoused to make sure that people have socks in time for inclement weather. So please participate here in Socktober. 3010 Lava Ridge Court, Suite 220 here in Roseville. If you're here while James and I are on a break, we'll pop out and say what's up. Love to get some sock donations, and B, would love to see you. 3010 Lava Ridge Court, Suite 220 in Roseville. Bring your new
unwrapped, still in the package.
Still in the package socks. I was going to say unpackaged socks, but that's not what we're looking for. Okay, We'll be back in a second. We got more Kings, more NFL, ESPN Top 100. Tons to get to in the second hour here on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.